Welcome to the Not in the Textbooks podcast. I'm your host, Audra, and I'll be sharing stories you've likely never learned in any of your textbooks. But before today's chapter, I need to clear up just a little bit of business. The views in these chapters are my own or my guest's own. They are meant for entertainment and educational purposes only. They do not reflect any connections to any employer of mine, my guests, now, in the past, or even in the future. If you need any medical treatments, advice, assistance, or care, please seek your own medical practitioners, not this podcast. Also, if I have a fellow healthcare provider, clinician, etc., member of the healthcare team, and we are discussing anything that has to do with healthcare stories, there are no HIPAA violations, or HIPAA violations, as we like to jokingly call them. We are not going to disclose personal healthcare information. We are going to change little tweaks in the story so that there's nothing identified. It's just for the education and entertainment factor. And most likely, things in the story have been changed so that you can't identify who the patient may be. So, on that note, I hope that you guys thoroughly enjoy the show. Thanks. Hello, today is 10/22/2023. It has been a cool minute, my friend. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Super fantastic. Thank you.
Good. It has been a minute.
Yeah. We ADD'd this one all the way through the month.
It was a busy month, though.
It was. For both of us. We were busy people. We were busy people. So it's okay. It's okay. All right, so hit me with your good, bad, and ugly. Tell me what's gone on this month that's so good, so bad, so ugly.
Oh, gosh. I have a few good, so I'm going to say a few. Okay. I'm off orientation at my new job, finally, so that's good. And I'm able to, like, pick up some extra shifts or bonuses. That's really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a new car. That's really, really good.
I saw that baby today. She's so pretty.
My poor Cadillac was just, oh my gosh, it was dying every day. I was having to jump it sometimes twice a day. I was so embarrassing. But I got to work on some things until I could get the car, and everything worked out perfect.
Mm-hmm.
The ugly, taxes. Taxes are ugly. I'm hating taxes more and more every day.
Every day.
On my paycheck, my new car, everything. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Adulting and taxes are just trash. They're just absolute trash. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Let me hear yours.
My good is I have a new job. I have two new jobs, technically. I am going to be starting a new job in 3 weeks with the outpatient clinics. It's a whole new program that they've developed, so I'm very excited about that. I'm going to be floating from clinic to clinic virtually in the sky after my training is done. My training will be a little bit more rigid, but after that, it'll be virtual. So that's good. Let's see, manifesting some things, you know, relationship-wise, having some manifestation come forward. It's pretty darn good.
I love manifestation.
Love me some, bring that forth. It's been very good. And, my bad is, why is it still 80-something degrees in October? Which really isn't that bad, but I'm still like a little bitter that I'm ready.
It's weird.
Yeah, I'm ready for sweater weather. And I guess that's really it. The ugly is I have to change jobs, and you know, it's kind of that transitioning thing is not. Raven, hush. It's not fun.
Who missed the microphone?
Yeah, she wants to say her piece. She's like, hurry up so I can get to my good, bad, and ugly. stop it. She's tearing up my furniture, too. Stop it. So, did you just hear that? That was her
I did.
Literally knocking an entire book off of my bookshelf because she's...
I was going to say, it sounds like she's kicking a door.
She's so mad at me right now for making her stop tearing up my stuff that she's like, oh, yeah, watch this.
Whack.
Oh, God. Cats are the best. Yeah, and the ugly is allergy season. Like, why? Why is fall every white girl's dream? Because pumpkin spice and, you know, cuffing season and sweater weather. and then at the same time, seasonal allergies. Why? Why does it have to come with that? I feel like
that is pretty psychotic.
It's rude. It's just rude.
Which reminds me, I just need to take the Claritin every day, and probably so do you. Yeah. Or you already do.
I do. I take like three. I have to remember to take my Flonase. That's the whole thing during this season, because I take like three standard allergy meds all year round just to breathe. And then during this time, I have to do the Flonase. Anyway, so that's pretty much it. On to the topic at hand, would you love to start since you have a new job and you can start listing the stresses that nurses have?
Well, yeah. Like, how about we can start with not killing someone? That's stressful.
Oh, my God. Any day of the week. Yes, please. Let's not kill anyone, because they literally, you were responsible for that. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And it happens so often. Now, I hear these crazy stories like where a nurse crushed medications and was supposed to give him via peg tube and put him in someone's vein and like killed him. I've heard terrible stuff like that.
Oh my God.
Which is like, that was a dummy who needs to be, you know, criminalized.
Mm-hmm.
But I hear of like that story I sent you of that nurse that gave the wrong medication,
mm-hmm.
And killed someone, and they were in similar containers. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think of all the things that nurses have to keep up with and not kill someone and document everything. And, you know, that's why we're trained and go through all that. But like, in addition to that, it's all the other stressors, like, you know, the staff that are working with you that, you know, you're in charge of the care plan for XXX patients. And, you know, you're the RN in charge, even the LPN, I don't think. Although they carry a license, they're as much in charge as you, and that's stressful. And then when you've got, you know, all these different disciplines, you know, asking you this and that, it's just stressful.
It is.
Nurse stress is a real thing.
Oh, it's out of control, outrageous, because they teach you just enough to be safe. They can't quite teach you how to do the disciplined area that you're going to go do your career or part of your career or start out your career in. They just give you, it's like running your tongue across, it's like a vacation. You run your tongue across the cube and hope you get a taste. And then when you get into the actual job, you just have to learn how to do it. And I know that's like terrifying to most lay people, but this is the God's honest truth, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you really learn disease processes, seeing disease process play out. And you know, if they stuck me in an ICU today, it would be a bad deal, because I don't know, you know, there's certain meds you can't push in fast and you can't push slow and you can't push through a piggyback that you can't, you know, like there's just certain things that you just can't do, you know, like I'd be safe enough to know to hold the Lasix or lisinopril if the blood pressure is super low, but you know, all of those medications, plus, like you said, disciplines are coming in, PT's coming in, OT's coming in, RT, respiratory therapy, they're coming in, physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy.
They're all messaging the nurse.
They're all coming in. They're all messaging the nurse. The doctor's coming in. They want labs. They want those results. The critical labs are being called back to you. You have to know that that's a critical lab to call back to the doctor. Like there's just, and what does that mean? What does that critical lab mean? Do I hold the potassium or do I give the potassium? Do you do that in an IV? You don't do it in an IV. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. There's just so much to it that
there's so much, and there's not enough time in your shift to do all of that. Like we're trained to look everything up before you give it. And thankfully, after this long, have a pretty good knowledge of what everything is, but I'm still running across medications I'm not familiar with, or, you know, can it be ran while this is being run? Like, there is, mm-hmm. you know, thing like that. There's things like that that need to be watched for, and you don't have time to look everything up and, you know, push this slow and just do everything by the books. It's really unsafe and stressful.
It is. And then ultimately, you know, that's just the job. Then you have interpersonal relationship, interpersonal bullying, like the yes. saying goes, where nurses eat their young.
Jealousy.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. And just general pettiness. And, you know, seasoned nurses, I don't subscribe to this. I know you don't. You're a seasoned nurse, even though you're a brand new RN. I don't choose to eat my young. That's not a thing that's going to happen. No, like, they're, you know, we want them here because then I can retire. You
well,
know,
they can help us too.
Exactly. I mean, gosh, we're part of the team.
Let's not act like we're not doing the same thing, trying to, you know, get people better. And
exactly. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
We are. And it's, it behooves me to help you become a better nurse. As a seasoned nurse, it's in my best interests. It's in the profession at large's best interest for me to help you become a better nurse. You know, like,
absolutely.
In general, and I feel like even seasoned nurses can help each other become better nurses. And so that's a tangent all in and of itself. But yes, the bullying, the workplace bullying, the Mean Girls Club, the whole bullshit with that, that's just the interpersonal part of it. And then you have an entire system with COVID and the way that people have treated nursing professionals. And, you know, there's like a really, really high risk of being assaulted at some point on the job if you've been out in the field or in the inpatient setting. You're going to get hit, bit, punched, scratched. I mean, I've had my ass kicked by an 86-year-old woman before. Like, it's just happened.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, you just, you're
I
going.
I can take those ass whoopings. They're usually sick and demented.
And like, they don't know. But the people yes. that want to stab you because they want to stab you and they're completely lucid, that's a real that's a real threat. That's an actual yes. real thing now.
Yeah, but NCLEX is like, but what could you have done differently?
That's
not be a nurse. What are you talking about?
Not showed up in the room, not clocked in, not fucking clocked in. I could have just not clocked in. That's what I could have done differently. And that's the whole thing is like, yes, admin is when those things happen where you get punched or hit or kicked or spit on or stabbed or whatever their first question is. And how could we have handled this differently? Honestly, with my whole chest, disrespectfully, F yourselves, all of you. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and then you have just general mistakes that if they're treating nursing assaults in that manner where they're protecting the institution and saying what could you have done differently then when mistakes are made, you know that your butt is literally on the line, your license, your future, everything that you've worked for, because the institution is not going to back you like they used to back in the day. They're going to protect themselves by throwing you directly under the bus. And then now, where it used to be an issue that was handled with the board, now they're actually criminally charging us. So,
yes.
Not surprising, a 20-something-year-old, absolutely beautiful young lady who was in a brand new ER nurse committed suicide recently and left her note on her computer. And it's just, to me, it's tragic, you know? And this is happening. We have catapulted from one of the lower suicide rates to overthrowing physicians as far as nurses now killing themselves at you know, we're right up there. We're number one, number two, depending on like the study that you look at.
Wow.
I'm going to look up this note because her family published it. I swear to you, there's not a single one of us. Her family published it, and there's not one of us would have not written it. And
you know, I feel like nurses really need to come together and be like, hey, we need to get together and dispute, you know, nurse-patient ratios, what's the safest? And honestly, I don't feel like registered nurses are making what they should make, not for what they've got to do. I'm serious. Like, I make a little more than a brand new RN because I was an LPN for so long. But when I heard from some of the new nurses what they're getting paid, it seems very unfair to be in charge of all that and only start out making $10 or $11 more than what you can make at Amazon.
Exactly. Like you could literally go be a night manager at Bucky's and make more money than what you're making right now.
That's psycho.
It is completely. Okay, so the young lady's name was Tristan Kate Smith, and she ended her life August 7th of 2023. And this is what they found on her laptop. She wrote this in March of 2023, and she titled it "A Letter to My Abuser." Ever since I was young, I expressed an interest in healthcare and becoming a nurse. So I began my study. I gave my heart, my body, and my mind to you. Dedicated long hours, days, and gave you my all. I cried with patients, with their families, and for them. I held their hands, and they held mine as I moved forward in my nursing career. My patients and their family have been there for me and supported me and reminded me why I do what I do. I thought it was enough. This would all be all I needed to carry me through my career. I told you I would be there through the good and the bad, but you have taken my heart and slowly crushed the goodness that it had. You love bombed me with affection, and you told me I was going into a career that matters, that I would make a difference. You made me feel comfortable despite the rumors of your abusive past, rumors I didn't want to believe. The compliments, the pizzas, and the thank you letters gradually had less meaning to me. Though the staff I worked beside began to go away, in your eyes, these staff were unnecessary. But it came at a high cost for the advertised, quote, quality care, end quote, provided to our patients by those of us who were left. You asked my colleagues and me what we needed to help patients improve satisfaction scores. And when we told you the truth, but then you sent us to online courses that told us to smile more and be friendlier to the patients. That's when I began to understand the true cruelty and manipulation. I remember the first time that I heard about nurses getting hit. I remember that you asked them what they had done or what they didn't do to prevent it from happening. What we just said, don't protect yourself by fighting back. You said, just lay there with your hand over your head and wait until security comes. You created an environment of fear and blame in a place that we already felt unsafe. You blamed us for things out of our control. You criminally charged my colleagues for things that happened as a direct result of your own actions. The law doesn't protect us, and neither did you. It no longer felt like you cared about me or the people that you say you serve. Mm-hmm. I sit in front of my desk waiting for someone to walk off the street and shoot my patients and me, and you don't care about even keeping us protected. You haven't provided the slightest amount of security to keep us safe. You use and exploit us to line your pockets using the common citizens' money for overpaid healthcare. You are a narcissist, and I can see you for exactly what you are. You say you care, but while you ignore us and while we beg on our hands and knees, you tell us we do so much and we put up with so much, but when we dare to think we're finally going to get the love and support that we deserve, we get pizza parties and free pens for the healthcare heroes. I so desperately want to continue to help people, but I cannot stay in this abusive relationship. Each day, you ask me to do more and more with less and less. You beat me to the point that my body and mind are black, bruised, and bleeding out. I'm so sorry to my patients and colleagues. You deserve so much better. But my abusive partner is relentless. If I stay, I will lose my sanity and possibly my life forever. Yeah. And I think absolutely any nurse could have penned that note.
No kidding.
It's relatable on every single solitary.
It's relatable, but it's so hushed too. Like, why is this not published everywhere? And why are nurses not meeting at the Capitol and be like, we're tired of being abused?
Exactly. Well, the problem is that we here in Oklahoma, I can tell you exactly why, we're non-union state. They won't let us unionize here, you know. And there are several places where the nurses have walked and said, we're not doing this anymore. And even the agency nurses that they brought in have said things like, now I know why they're on strike. This is ridiculous. Like, they don't have supplies even, like bare minimum supplies, you know? Like, give me a break. How are we supposed to run?
You don't have the supplies. You don't have the staff.
No.
The patients are, I don't know, COVID affected everyone in some aspect.
Mm-hmm.
The universe is just crazy now. Mm-hmm. So, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Poor baby.
And she's 23. She was 23 years old and took her life because everything that she had imagined, you know, turned out to be a nightmare, an absolute nightmare.
Exactly.
And then how do you reframe your life? Like, I remember driving down the road thinking, I don't want to take care of patients anymore. They're killing me.
Yes.
And literally trying to muster up any kind of dream of any other kind of job. And I couldn't think of anything else I ever wanted to be but a nurse. You know, like, I don't want to be anything but a nurse, but I don't want to take care of people anymore. And I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Like, what are you supposed to do?
It's the real thing.
And luckily, I literally, like, 5 minutes later, walked in the door and Lori said, you know, Rhonda's leaving. We need to train somebody to do coding. Do you want to do it? And you literally, you cannot ask the universe for an answer and then say, but not that one, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I was like, okay, yeah, that'll do. I'll take it. I don't know if I really want to do that, but yes, whatever that is, I'm going to do that because it's going to save my life if nothing else. And it has. It has.
I didn't want to say this because I've been trying to not complain. And, you know, I'm at this new job and I'm really enjoying being a new RN and learning all of these things. But I got through my orientation and I remember telling, on my first day off of orientation, being in charge of 9 patients.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the RN for 9 patients. I have an LPN and a tech. And with the amount of admissions, discharges, patients going to surgery, coming back, the LPN doing, you know, medications and assessments on these patients, me doing medication assessments on these patients, but ultimately, I'm the RN on the pod.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember with all of that going on, I told the nurses I was with, I was like, I don't think this is the job for me.
Yeah.
It crushed my dreams of that job working out and being amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm new to inpatient type settings. So I was like, maybe I just need to keep coming back and try it. And things have chilled out and it is getting a little better, but when you're trying to balance all of those admissions, discharges, patients going to surgery, coming back, this and that going on all day long, it beats you into the ground. It really does.
Absolutely. Because it's ultimately your responsibility for 9 human being lives, you know,
yes, 9 that are very sick.
Yeah.
They're not just chilling.
No, no, they literally just came out of a trauma ICU, you know, so they're just barely okay to be on the floor and could go south any second for any number of reasons. Yes, it's overwhelming. And, you know, they just stack more productivity on. And it, you know, we got into this to help people and teach and, you know, we got into it for the relational stuff, you know, medically, not to make best friends, but to have a relationship medically with human beings, person to person, that heart-centered thing of like making connection and improving people's lives. And all we're doing is just keeping them alive as opposed to improving it, you know.
Band-aids. We're putting band-aids on stuff. We're not getting them better.
No, because we don't have the time to actually teach.
No, and they're coming right through, right back, right back, because they just got discharged, you know?
Yeah, and that's why these new, you know, of course, COPD, CHF, cancer, new diabetes, new chronic kidney disease, all those, we know they bounce back. They bounce back because they haven't been taught how to manage their disease process. They don't even know to weigh themselves at home. You know what I mean? And you don't have time to tell them that.
No.
It's just, let me get the tasks done. Let me get these tasks done.
As a home health nurse, I would always be like, gosh, it's like the hospital didn't teach them anything.
No.
But the hospital didn't have time.
The hospital didn't have time.
No,
do you know how many
didn't.
People have brand new diabetes diagnoses and they would be sent home without a glucometer? No way to check their blood sugar without No, you don't have a meter. They don't have a meter. They were told to check their sugar, but they were never shown how. They were never given a meter. They don't know. I mean, it's just amazing, you know, sometimes that it's like, yeah, this slips through the cracks, like, because there's no time.
There's that breaks my heart about that young nurse.
It does mine too. It does mine too. You know, it's Mental Health Awareness Month, and, you know, 988 is a number. If you need it, call it. I know it sounds silly, but there is another person on the other end of the line that's trained to help you and to talk to you. And sometimes you just need somebody to diffuse it. You know, the sad thing is that doing that, in taking her life, she removed the hope of it ever getting better for her. It will forever be that healthcare system, you know. And for us, there is the hope on the horizon somehow that this will get better. You know, unfortunately, it's just in a dark place right now. It just is. So, but there is hope for tomorrow. I feel like enough of like this being published and enough people talking about this and, you know, telling her story and telling our own stories of being at the brink of like, maybe I'll just be a Walmart greeter.
Because, you know, I thought it was, you know, when COVID blew up and nurses were real fatigued then, which is understandable. It was a whole ass pandemic. But, like, I thought things would get better and they're not.
No.
You know, nurses were leaving the profession then because it was too much. We were being asked far too much then.
Mm-hmm.
And then not only that, they were going into other professions. And I thought, oh my gosh, like, do I really want to be a nurse?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And they're still doing it. They're still doing it. I mean, I literally was considering, what else do I do?
Yeah.
There's got to be something else I could do.
I tell people all the time, I'm like, if I could do it again, I probably would have went into pharmacy or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like a healthcare.
PT seems to have it pretty good too, you know.
They have to be whole-ass doctors now.
Physical therapists?
Oh, yeah. They have to get a doctor in physical therapy to sit and take their test now. They're whole-ass doctors. Yep.
That's crazy.
I know. And then nurses will treat them like shit. Somebody who's got a, you know, a 2-year degree or something will act like they're stupid. I'm like, you know, they're a whole ass doctor, right? Like, you realize that. Like, we're talking post-grad school. They kind of know some shit. Shut up. Sit down and shut up. No. They're part of the team. Sit down and be quiet. They could teach you something. Also, they could probably put you in a position that would pull something that would hurt like hell. Do not piss off the therapists, please.
No kidding. Our therapists are great.
Oh, my gosh. They're so bright. Man, they're brilliant. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Every time I see them working with patients, I'm like, wow, that's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. I mean, some of the things that they come up with, too, for solutions to workarounds, you know, let's retrain this to do this instead. And it's like, oh, that's genius. I guess that's why you're a whole ass doctor and I'm just a nurse over here doing my thing.
Drowning. Mm-hmm. The nurses are drowning.
Yeah. Trying to just
get through the shift.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Okay. Well, do you have anything else on this topic? I know it's kind of a heavy one.
No, other than Mental Health Awareness Month and what I did today, I was at a friend's son's funeral. So she had her biological son, but she let her sister raise him. Mm-hmm. So it's basically like her son, but really her nephew.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he committed suicide. I didn't ask all the details. It was just sad enough anyway. And I didn't, it didn't feel appropriate, but she told me about it and I went there to be there. And I just remember being in there, in that funeral today, and just, it broke my heart. And I texted my son while I was there. I didn't make him go. He didn't know the kid or even her very well.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, I said, you know, this just really breaks my heart being here right now. And I just need you to know that I don't want to know what it feels like a life without you. Mm-hmm. And they had some suicide awareness ribbons, and his mother got up there and spoke about, you know, the suicide hotline. And I just hope that everyone knows that, even if, you know, even if they feel like they can't talk to someone, or they can call, you know, they can call the hotline, you know, mm-hmm. and if the phone's too heavy, put it on speaker, yell for someone. We do not need any more suicides from nurses, kids, anyone.
Exactly. Exactly. And like I said, it, you know, I know it seems like that's the solution at the time, but it is, it just makes whatever darkness you're in your permanent darkness. You know, tomorrow is a hope of it maybe being better. You know what I mean? Even just a little bit. And if you take that option off the table, you take the option of it being better off the table too. So
completely off the table. We live in such a dark world today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We've got to stay close to the people we love and look out for everyone and stay plugged in. And
absolutely.
Oh my gosh.
And I don't ever want to know a life without my kids because they thought that they had no other options. I feel like, you know, you look at all the people that were there for that kid that he didn't even realize all the love that surrounded him, you know, all the time. That's the worst part about mental illness, is it will lie to you and make you believe that this is real. Mm-hmm. It's not. It's really not.
A pastor friend of mine lost his son also. And mm-hmm. when I was talking to him about, you know, the funeral and how heartbreaking that is, which he's been through that, he said, yes, Danny, my son died one time, but I die 1,000 more.
Mm.
'Cause, you know, it comes back. That pain never goes away.
No.
When these people do that to themselves,
mm-hmm.
the people that are left here have to deal with that forever.
Forever. Yeah. Forever. Yeah. I had a cousin who killed herself, who committed suicide, and my uncle as well. So it's not unknown to me, but it's still, you know, it just sucks. It sucks that it's like, you felt like that was, it just was too much. Like, that pain was just too much. I mean, you know, they lost the battle that day, so. But 988 is easy to dial.
Oh, yeah.
And someone will be on the other end of that line to help.
Yeah.
So don't be
afraid. And Audra, we're going to end on something sweet since we've been talking about mental health and suicide.
Yes.
I am so grateful for our friendship.
Me too. I am too.
Yes.
For sure.
You just show up and you're so, you always answer, you're there, you're present, you check on me, and I hope I'm being just as good a friend to you, because yes. I really care about our friendship. I'm so grateful for our friendship.
I agree. And you do show up for me, and you are there if I need anything, and I love you for that so much. And just know that I'm in your corner. I'm one of your fan. I'm one of your fans, so I'm going to show up. I'm a Danny fan. I love you too. We will shift on that note. You got to check in with people. You got to make sure.
Mm-hmm.
For real. Even if you just think, like, I haven't talked to them in a while, I need to see what's going on. What are you listening to? What music are you listening to? Both of us already covered. We ain't reading nothing right now. So what are you listening to?
This tired nurse that doesn't have time to read anything.
Gosh. You've been working your booty off.
I sure have.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just listening to my saint. Well, I didn't have music in that crackhead looking Cadillac car I drove. So I'm listening to whatever my phone plays and enjoying it.
That's good.
So I've been listening to a lot of music, and then no podcasts right now. I'm not listening to anything. What about you?
I've been listening to Tell 'Em Steve Dave. Been trying to stay caught up on that because, you know, we need to laugh, people. We need to remember how to laugh.
Yes, we're so serious all the time.
All the time. Lighten up. Life is too short. Don't take it too seriously. Laugh. It's good. It's a good thing to do. Mm-hmm. And then I have been listening to music, a lot of Chris Stapleton, because his concert is next week, and I'm taking myself to go. I love him too. You want to get a floor seat? Because it's next
Thursday. Where's it at?
It's in Tulsa Thursday night. Are you working Thursday?
I'm looking. Hold on, girl. Well, I'll let you know in a minute.
Yeah, just let me know. They don't need to hear all this, but you can come if you want to. I'm taking myself. I bought myself a ticket way back, and I was like, I'm going. I don't care. I'm going to go sit there and watch Chris sing to his wife.
I love him.
Me too.
I'm going to a concert in February. I'm going to go. It's actually my birthday is February 8th, and then the concert is February 10th. So I'm going, taking myself on my birthday to see Trey Songz. I'm like in love with him.
Ooh, how fun. Okay. Yeah. I'm not mad at you. See, this is the thing that people need to learn about, like, going on a spiritual journey is, like, take yourself on dates. You will never. Mm-hmm. I take myself to my favorite places. I have never missed up a date. Ever. I go to all my favorite places. I love it. I have a great time. I'm good company.
Always works out.
I know. Like, I never stand myself up. It's great. It's amazing.
Did I tell you about my psycho date I had recently?
Oh my God, no. And now I need to know.
My gosh.
Oh wait, okay. Did you?
I had to Uber home.
Yes, you did. Oh, okay. My God. Yes. No, I heard that one. Oh, my God. Okay, look. Yeah, when doors close, let them close.
Oh, shut. Slammed and locked. Padlocked. Burned.
Burned the building to the ground once that door closes. Just.
Oh, my God. That was crazy. I'm glad doors are shutting, though, but that date was awful.
Oh.
I said, oh, my gosh. I'm traumatized. As if my job isn't enough, like, I got to get traumatized going to eat
dinner.
Unlimited shrimp. What the heck?
Like, this should not have been a traumatizing event. This should have been fun. Like, it's supposed to be.
I was trying to make it so fun, too. Oh, my gosh.
It's not worth it. Some things are not worth it. Mm-mm. Two umbrellas or nothing at all, baby. Two umbrellas or nothing at all. All right. On that end, we will see y'all in the stacks next week. Again, I cannot thank you enough for taking some time out of your busy lives to listen to this week's chapter, engage with the show, social media accounts, and for all of your feedback. I appreciate your feedback so much. It helps me to find those chapters and stories that you guys actually want to hear. If you have just a moment, can you head over to Spotify and follow the show no matter where you're listening from? It would really help me out. And if you want to, you can check out my flow page. It is flow.page/notinthetextbooks. It has all the links to the social media accounts and where you can actually listen. If you want to be on the show or you want to nominate someone to be on the show, please email me at notinthetextbookspodcast@gmail.com. Just a quick reminder that we're not all getting straight A's in the stories of our lives, and some people are having harder chapters than you are. So take a minute, pause, think about it, be kind. And if you're struggling right now because your chapter's super hard, I'll be your cheerleader. I'm here for you. Reach out, get support, and get the help that you need. Keep going. And on that note, I'll see you in the stacks next week.